This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
The following episode of TOFOP is rated MA for mature audiences. It may contain sexual references, time travel references, allegations of bin misconduct, and mild coarse language. TOFOP advises that this episode is not suitable for anyone under the age of 15 or anyone who thinks a comedy conversation between two old mates sounds like a terrible idea for a show. Minors must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. This is John Deek speaking.
Everyone relax, this is TOFOP, I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson, and in a bad sign for the podcast today, I have a TOFOP mug, and I smashed it.
Why?
I didn't mean to.
I looked at it and you're like, this disgusts me.
I can't believe
I can't even swallow this liquid.
Stupid podcast that I fucking spent money on our own fucking merch. No, I was shaking out a doona in the bedroom, and the mug was on a table near the bed, and it went on the floor and smashed everywhere. And I thought, is that a bad portent? Is that a bad omen for the podcast?
Which depends. Which mug was it?
It was a TOFOP one, and everyone relaxed. The one that says
TOFOP. Oh, with a cartoon.
Says TOFOP, like a TOFOP on it, and everyone relaxed. So, right. The classic old TOFOP branding, basically. Maybe it was like, we're done with the old TOFOP.
Yeah.
And now we're...
That's what it is. It's a sign that we are shattered. It's kind of like, you know, That's old news. You know when George Michael did the Faith music video? No, was it... What was the music video where he burnt the Faith jacket? Do you remember George Michael?
Freedom 90?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because that song's all about...
TOFOP Freedom 90.
Yeah, it's like we were these like polished pop stars, man, and we had the good time bands on the run, boy.
Yeah, exactly.
The good time pods on the run, boy.
We were
living in a fantasy.
Living in a fantasy, talking about Kathy Bates and Tom Campbell. But smash.
That's what it is. It's like we're the old us. It's no longer relevant. This is the new TOFOP, the thoughtful TOFOP.
Yeah, exactly. We've had to have some sort of ceremony, some sort of cleansing ceremony. Right. And so I accidentally had that when I was trying to put the doona on.
Now, I remember hearing a story about Johnny Depp, and this may be something that, you know, his publicist helped him work on to make him sound cooler. But there's a story about Johnny Depp that when he was on 21 Jump Street, which he hated being like a network TV star and a heartthrob and stuff, that... The thing that bugged him most on Sunset Strip, there was a billboard of 21 Jump Street, and that he and a mate once decided to graffiti it. And so they climbed up there with spray cans and they were graffitiing over the 21 Jump Street poster. And then a cop arrived and was like, hey, wait a minute, you're the guy on the poster, which sounds like a cool, if you're trying to cultivate an image of being like a bad boy, a Hollywood bad boy. But do you think that's what we're doing? Is like, yeah, man, we're just fucking... We're not mainstream. You don't know what we're going to do next.
Our equivalent of graffitiing a poster on Sunset Strip is smashing one of our own mugs I paid for myself.
That no one will see. Anyway,
it's not like
no one even knew you had it.
It's not like Johnny Depp paid for that 21 Jump Street poster on the Sunset Strip, took $50,000 out of his own bank account, and just went, and then I'm going to smash it.
If you were his agent, you get the call. I mean, look, I'm sure he didn't get in any trouble or whatever, but the publicist calls and says, look, Johnny got arrested, or at least, you know, he got pulled over by the cops last night and he vandalized the billboard. It's probably going to get back to the producers of 21 Jump Street. Just wanted to give you a heads up. As the agent, what's your next move?
Well, firstly, you bounce around the office on your already swollen testicles, an excitement about the opportunity this gives you in your next negotiation, because, like, his whole character is that he's this, you know,
bad
undercover
boy.
Cop. He's a bad boy. You know, like, it fits him perfectly. You'd be asking for more money. You'd be like, I think you saw the news. We want an extra $50,000 an episode.
So you think that they would be like, because we told that story about Oasis, like, you know, their first trip overseas as a band, they went to Amsterdam. They never made it because they started a fight on the ferry and blah, blah, blah. And their agent was like, fantastic. Yeah. You can't buy this kind of publicity. Do you think Johnny Depp's agent was like, great. We, you know, we've got a big plans for this guy. You know, we want him to be known as the anti-heartthrob.
That's what it would have been great if we had, like, managers and, you know, producers and stuff in the early days of TOFOP, and we're like, we've lost another episode. And they'd be like, great.
Totally fits in with the big picture idea of you guys being these lovable idiots.
Brilliant. On brand. We're asking for more money. Patreon.
Does it ever kind of like, you know, because we're a fairly professional unit now. We have people who take care of those things and make sure the show sounds good and is released on time. And, you know, we have Taylor doing social media and stuff. Does it ever kind of grind your gears when something does kind of like, you know, an episode comes out late and people are like, difficult TOEFOP, wouldn't expect anything else.
No, I think it's I'm glad that we've set that as our base level for what people expect. You know, I feel like there is a certain comfort in the idea that no matter how fucked we are, people will be like, oh, that's on brand.
Yeah.
It's like when we've tried to do that live Instagram.
Yes.
And it took us like 20 minutes to get the microphones working and everyone's just like, ah, this is great.
This is these guys.
Look at these idiots. How terrible they are at their job.
So if we
set their pretend job they made up themselves.
If we set the bar low enough, then we can never really fall underneath it, can we?
I mean, I guess that's true. Yes, we have lowered expectations right to the bottom, and therefore anyone who people are just happy that they get it at any stage. Although, like, we've been putting out weekly episodes now for...
It feels like a year.
At least a year. It's got to be more than a year, I think, that we've regularly put out episodes. And it's been nearly 2 years of regularly putting out episodes of Philosophy now. And so I think that that is a level of professionalism that we have brought to the table.
Yeah, where's our respect? Rodney Dangerfield.
we TOEFOP, much like Rodney Dangerfield, don't get no respect.
Well, I guess it's kind of like... The equivalent is probably, you know, like a guy in a boy band, like Harry Styles or Justin Timberlake. They go out and they want to be a serious artist, but everyone's like, no, you're fucking NSYNC guy. Like, you've got to somehow, you can't erase the past, but you've got to somehow say, look, I've had two distinct stages in my career. Like when Justin Timberlake did the Super Bowl and then at the very end, he brought out the NSYNC guys and it was like a nice little nod to say, hey, yeah, you know, like I haven't forgotten my past. I know where I've come from. Like, is it important that we acknowledge, we occasionally acknowledge that we had this embarrassing past?
Yeah, except like to use the boy band example, that would imply that one of us had left and become more popular.
Yeah.
And then brought the other back for a performance.
Right.
Like it.
Well, that is Philosophy. Philosophy was a show that started from TOEFOP, essentially, which has become our most popular podcast. And occasionally you regularly come back. Yeah. Like, has there ever been someone who's... Michael Jackson, I guess, for a while, he was Michael Jackson, but he would still tour with the Jackson 5.
Right.
So I guess it... But at some point, he was like, fuck, why do I need my brothers? Like, I'm doing fine on my own. In fact, I was doing fine before then, let's be honest.
I guess... That the equivalent...
Collins.
Yeah, Phil Collins.
Phil Collins. Yeah. We can still play with Genesis, and that's fine, and people still like Genesis, but he's Phil Collins.
Have I spoken on TOEFOP about that Phil Collins clip that I'm obsessed with? Okay, so there's this Phil Collins clip that I am just absolutely fucking obsessed with at the moment, and I've watched it maybe like 15 times. It is... I've never seen a crowd be so... into a moment in a like pop and rock and roll show in the history of pop and rock and roll.
Can I guess what it is?
Please guess.
Is it In the Air Tonight?
Yes.
Is it when he does the drum solo?
Okay. So you might have seen this clip. I'm not sure. But he's performing on this set, which is the biggest set you have ever seen in your entire life. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
It looks like, I mean, it's like the set of like Ninja Warrior or something.
Yeah.
This is Phil Collins' set. And In the Air Tonight is his encore, obviously, right? Yeah. So it starts with him just backstage. Mm-hmm. And so you're just seeing the crowd build up and like, you know, it all just sort of starting up. And Phil's backstage and he's wearing like, I guess like a smock. Like pants and a smock.
Like a painter's smock?
No, like more like a monk's smock.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like a, almost like a, what a kung fu master might wear.
Exactly. He looks like he's working at the local dojo.
Like a collarless. It's like a collar. I think I have seen this clip. Because obviously, yeah.
So he's popped down from work at his local dojo. And he's.
Genesis does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, Phil Say.
So he has a like a headset microphone.
Oh, fuck yes. it's like he's doing a TED talk or he's launching Apple's new iPhone, right?
Yes. Yeah. Or like starting his own cult. It's very cult leader. Yeah. Like you
Phil
know
song.
And so he's on this massive set. He's in his smock. he's got this like headset microphone on that has this sort of
ball,
yeah, on the front of it, but it's kind of like a flat ball, like he's working the drive-thru at McDonald's. So he's come from his two other jobs, the dojo and working the drive-thru at McDonald's, and then popped down to do the encore at his
gig. It was the first time, the last time they ever met. Would you like fries with that?
Yeah.
Just drive through the next window, please. He's taking orders as he's doing this concert.
And so there's a bit of fun with him backstage. They're filming him backstage and, you know, the crowd's all building up. And at this concert, there's got to be, it's a massive venue. There's probably 20,000 people there minimum, right? And he comes out and he starts singing In the Air Tonight. And basically his performance is that he just walks around the set.
That's right.
So there's no real dancing or anything.
Which is kind of a relief. Because if it's the same clip I've seen, he's probably in his mid-50s, right?
Oh, at least. And it's hard to tell with Phil Collins because he's always looked like old. He was in his mid-50s. Yeah. But I would say he's at least in his mid-50s at this stage. And so he's just walking around this set and that's the show. Look at this set. I am now just going to walk around this set.
It's almost like there's something kind of like, it's almost expressionistic theater or something, because it's like the black set from memory, right? Like it is a big
black
set.
Black and kind of blue. And
yeah, but it's very minimalist, you know, and he's just walking around and it's, because it's a low energy song. So he's kind of just walking around the stage singing through it. Yeah, continue. Right.
And so there's a couple of moments in that people go absolutely wild for. And the first one, and this builds you up for how wild they're going to go for the big reveal, is when he does, "Do you remember?" And people just like, "Wah!"
Yeah, yeah.
And even then, you can kind of see in his eyes,
"Oh, I've got him now. I'm going to get him later.
If I get him with this bit, they are going to love the next bit." And so he walks, so he's walked from the top of the set down one stage to the front of the stage, sung a bit of the song, does his "Do you remember?" And then he walks right back up the other side of the set. And it's dark. Yeah. Up in the top middle part of the set. And so he's walking towards, as, yes, you have revealed, his drum kit.
Yeah. I don't think that's a big surprise. I think everyone knows that is the...
Well, here's what I love about this clip the most. You would think that that's what everybody knows. But there is a moment where he's only about a meter and a half away from the drum kit. and you know, a couple of bars away from that bit of the song, because it's perfectly timed. And then suddenly the lights come on the drum kit and the crowd go wild in a way when they realize, oh my God,
he's going to play the
drums. It's the drums and he's going to play the drums. Like, never has anything been more obvious and yet more of a surprise in one moment. And then he sits down at that drum kit and he plays that drum solo. People just have never been happier. Like, literally, if you could bottle that moment in their life and you ask those 20,000 people what was the happiest moment you've ever spent in their life, they would be going, it was that 1 meter between when we realized he was going to play the drums and when he played the drums. That was the happiest I've ever been in my life.
And I think if you're a drummer too, because the drums are such a kind of like big instrument, you know, like it's not like you can just whip out a set of drums and play them. So for a drummer, they very rarely get that kind of Sweet Child of Mine opening riff moment where the crowd goes, oh, like, you know, we know what's coming next. But that drum fill or whatever it is like, that's Phil Collins's signature sound. And the fact that he plays the drums himself is like, people are like, oh man, It all makes sense now.
Right. That's why he's got the headset mic on. He needs his hands free to play the drums. I should have seen this coming. Yes, of course you should have seen this coming. But that's why the set's so big, I think. It's all distraction.
To give him enough time to...
Yeah, but it's all also distraction that you don't notice that there's a giant drum kit up in the middle.
So can
because
you...
you're so distracted by everything else.
Can you... All right, so... The drums, are they in darkness and the light? Okay, right. It's not like they lower it down. I thought like that would be even more amazing. As he's making throughout this set, the drums.
The drum kit just lowers from the roof. You know what? If Phil Collins is listening to this podcast, he'll be spewing it and thinking that. Because that is the only thing that could have made the moment better. It is, I don't know why, but I reckon I've watched that clip like 10 or 12 times in the last 3 weeks, because there is just something about the audience not realizing what is going to happen and then realizing what is going to happen that is just so joyful.
What's the rumor about In the Air Tonight? that it was based on a true story about it's Phil wrote it because he knows that a friend of his saw someone drowning and turned the other way. That's like, because, well, as Eminem explained to us, you know that song by Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight, where a guy saw another guy drowning and Phil saw it all, and after his concert he thought something like that. Do you know what the urban myth is?
Well, that's, I believe that's kind of what the urban myth is, but it's not about that. Is
In the Air Tonight.
Truth. But yeah, look at
myth.
Up.
In the Air Tonight myth. Okay, here we go. All right, fact check. This is from Snopes.
Right.
Got to ruin everything, don't they, Snopes?
It's good that Snopes have got involved in this, though. In between, like, debunking Donald Trump's lies and stuff like that, it's good that they suddenly... Guys, Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight. That's the one we're doing today.
Okay, so In the Air Tonight, false rumor holds that Phil Collins wrote the song In the Air Tonight after witnessing an incident in which a man refused to come to the aid of a drowning swimmer. Okay. Of all pop songs for which elaborate apocryphal backstories have been created to explicate the lyrics, all right, fucking
calm down, Snopes.
Phil Collins' 1981 hit In the Air Tonight from his, what album was it from? Could you tell me?
No Jacket Required.
It's the only album I know as well. But that is wrong. It's called Face Value. And perhaps the most varied and fantastic set of legends associated with it.
Okay, great.
Encompassing adultery, rape, murder, drowning, and the dramatic exposure of a reprehensible wrongdoer resulting in an arrest or suicide, the narratives all include despicable acts either witnessed by Phil Collins or visited upon him and his family or friends, inspiring the musician to exact a form of revenge by encapsulating the experience in the lyrics of a song. Okay.
Also, just before even we get into what those rumors are, what a great insight into how people think Phil Collins operates. That if he sees an injustice done, he'll just write a Phil Collins song about it.
Why don't you save him from drowning? Maybe the guy didn't save him because he couldn't swim. And he thought, what is the point of two of us going out there in jail? I'll just make the situation worse.
The guy's
worse.
Like, hey, Phil, do you want to have a hand in this? And Phil's over there with the notepad.
I know, buddy. You wait.
Phil's drawing a set with a giant set of drums. Maybe I could get him to like fall from the roof.
Okay, every once in a while, I'll hear someone mention that there's a story behind the Phil Collins song In the Air Tonight. This seems to be a quote from someone. Yeah. So I'm not
this
sure.
Will be the inquiry, probably.
Okay, right. At any rate, Phil supposedly wrote this song after watching another man watch someone drown. He was too drunk or stoned to help himself. Okay, well, it's still fair enough. Like, I think in that situation, maybe you should just call for help. Call an ambulance or call police rescue or something like that. The other man apparently could have done something to save the drowning in person, but he didn't. One version of the story even has Phil doing detective work.
Oh, I love it.
Phil Collins the gumshoe. One version of the story even has Phil doing detective work to find the identity of the bystander, inviting him to a concert for free without revealing why.
Oh, yeah, great. Perfect.
And then perfect. Humiliating him in front of a huge crowd. The guy's wife divorces him and he loses his job.
Yes. That would be the great end of every episode if it was Phil Collins detective, Angela Lansbury, Murder, She Wrote style. And every week Phil has to solve a case and then the final scene is the concert where he's invited that person to the concert and he's written a song about them.
It's a pretty, like, what is your end game there? Like, to humiliate this guy, what are you hoping will happen? Is this guy will be so shamed that he'll then turn himself in?
Yeah.
I mean, there's other ways to do it, isn't there?
Well, I guess it's just a public unmask.
What if the song wasn't a hit? Like, what if you released it and it was such a bomb that, like, you can't really fit it into your show? Or he starts playing it and people at the concert start going to get snacks and drinks.
There's a whole bunch of other people who are just like, oh, yeah, he tried to publicly shame me, but the song was shit. And no, most of the people were at the bar, so I got away with it.
Okay, so this is what they've compiled here. This is all the rumors that Snopes have compiled about this. So this person said... all right, this is definitely true, except the part about the spotlight. Although he was in the guy in question was in the front row. It probably looked like the spotlight was on him, but it wasn't. And right after the show, the guy in question killed himself.
Ooh.
So Phil,
boy.
I mean, if like you've just two people have died. It's a tragedy twice now, and you're complicit in that. Someone should write In the Air Tonight too about
Phil
writing,
Collins. Yeah. They invite Phil Collins to a concert, and he's sitting in the front row, and they're like, well, we've got two drum kits.
Yeah.
Watch out, Phil Collins.
Okay, this is another person. It says, okay, my first girlfriend was a big Genesis Phil Collins fan, and according to something she'd heard, In the Air Tonight was inspired by Phil finding his then wife in bed with another man and at a party they were attending.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Maybe. Another person says, what I heard about the song is it's Phil, or the storyteller, noting that a friend watched someone drown in a lake and did not offer help. Another person says, I heard that Phil Collins, when he was small, Phil, still looked like he was 50. I imagine
when he was an 8-year-old, he looked like he was 50.
He witnessed an individual drowning another individual. Okay, so murder. Apparently, the individual looked up and spotted Phil. To this day, at every concert, Phil starts out singing this song as an accusation aimed at this individual. I like this one. This is a very colloquial way it's written. Last night at happy hour, good old Phil came on the jukebox singing in the air tonight. Me and the boys got to talking and doing the drum solo when one of them mentions what sounds to me like a UL, urban legend. He says the inspiration for this song came from years ago. Phil's wife had been assaulted and Phil knew who it was. Much later at night, Phil is walking around a lake when he hears a call for help from the lake. Some guy's drowning. Phil swims out to save the guy, but when he reaches him, it's the guy who assaulted his wife. He lets him go, swims back to shore and lets him drown, and then writes a song about it. All right, so traumatic night for Phil. His wife has been assaulted. He goes for a swim for some reason, rather than spending like staying with his wife.
No, there's a guy drowning. Oh, well, he's out and about.
Well, his wife's been attacked. Like, don't you stay with her? Make sure she's okay. He's like,
I'm going for a walk down the lake
at night. And it just. But then again, the guy who committed the assault. Why is he swimming?
What's he doing? Trying to make a break for it.
Another person says, the version of the story that I heard is that Phil's wife is assaulted. Phil finds out where the guy lives. He arranges to play a concert at the guy's hometown. A ticket is sent to his house. Phil debuts the song at the concert.
Okay, so if you've just watched someone like drown or watched someone be murdered.
Yeah.
And you receive a ticket to a Phil Collins concert in the mail. Do you immediately go to the concert? Would you be suspicious that you got a free Phil Collins ticket?
Yes. I mean,
I'd be sus on any free ticket to a Phil Collins gig from now on.
Yes.
Just based on these rumors. Like if out of the blue you were like, hey, you know what? I was at home and we suddenly got two tickets to go and see Phil Collins. I'd be like, oh no, but I'm not going there. I'm not sitting there. Your seat's down the front. Oh, fuck, it's happening again. Yeah.
But so you are banking on the fact, if you're Phil, that this guy is a Phil Collins fan, that he's want to go. Because, you know, we get, you and I often offered tickets to go see things and whatever. And if you're not into it, you often won't go. So
I've turned down heaps of things. Imagine if there are people trying to
go see like
Finger Me for a Crime.
Or Limp Bizkit. Like Fred Durst. Like,
got invited to the opening night of a Lion King, but I did not go because I thought that Simba was going to Finger Me for a Crime.
Okay, so this guy says, I heard a similar story about 10 years ago. I believe that I heard it on Casey Kasem's Top 40.
Okay.
Casey Kasem's Top 40. According to my memory, Phil and his buddy.
Okay.
So there's another one. We're sailing. And a downpour started, which caused the boat to capsize. Phil was swimming to shore with his friend and saw a guy sitting on his dock just watching him. He screamed for him to help. Apparently the guy had a boat and everything. But the guy just sat there and watched. Phil made it back to shore, but his friend drowned. Phil later tracked this guy down and sent him front row tickets to a nearby concert. The guy showed up and Phil did blah, blah, blah. Again, he's not very direct, Phil. Is that why Genesis broke up? It's like the other two guys in Genesis were like...
Well, you know how they found out they'd broken up. Phil invited them to a concert and he'd written a song about it. You guys are not in the band anymore.
So Snopes butt in here, so in between all the anecdotes, say... That's right. This show is improved out of sight in the last 10 years. The non-specific nature of the song's lyrics allowed for a variety of interpretations with lines such as, well, if you told me you were drowning, I would not lend you a hand.
Okay, let's go through the lyrics. That's what I want to
know. Okay, you got it?
I'm going to look up the lyrics of In the Air Tonight because I want to see if we can
Oh, I've got them here.
Oh, you've got them all there? All
right. Yeah. Good. Okay. Right. I can feel it coming in the air tonight, yeah. O Lord. I've been waiting for this moment all my life, O Lord. Can you feel it coming in the air tonight, O Lord? If you told me you were drowning, I would not lend a hand. Okay. I've seen your face before, my friend, but I don't know if you know who I am.
Okay, so that fits into the... Okay, so with these lyrics so far, my number one choice of all the rumors is the guy who assaulted his wife.
Right.
Because you're talking about, like, you know, coming in the air tonight, you know, and then it's suddenly like, you don't know who I am, but I know who you are, mate.
But he would know who Phil was. You'd think. There's probably more of a chance, unless it's like a random attack.
Yeah, a random attack.
That's a random attack. Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't like an affair or anything like that. Okay. All right. You don't know who I am. Well, I was there and I saw what you did. And I saw with my own two eyes. So you can wipe off the grin. I know where you've been. It's all been a pack of lies. Okay. I can feel it in there coming in the air tonight. Well, I remember... I remember, don't worry. How could I ever forget? It's the first time, the last time we ever met. But I know the reason why you keep your silence up. No, you don't fool me. The hurt doesn't show, but the pain still grows. It's no stranger to you and me. The drums all guns in one of those two places. Okay. This is Snopes. Lighting effects used when Collins performed the song on subsequent tours. Mm. May have fed versions of the legend that end with the perpetrator being identified and singled out via the spotlight. And then this is another person's story. In the Air Tonight gives me chills. I saw a film perform it live on his Into the Light tour, and it was really cool. The stadium was completely dark, except for these lights encircling the stage that stretched out and started to look through the crowd. The lights looked like those things that a submarine uses to see the surface. Oh, yeah. Those lights that we all know really
well. What a great relatable example. If people couldn't imagine what lights looked like at a concert, that has really cleared it up.
Lights in the submarine. I didn't know submarines had lights that looked for the surface.
So hang on. You're telling me we've gone to a rock and roll concert and it's dark, but there's some sort of light that's circling the stage? I can't in any way imagine that. Do you have a more clear and accurate example? Submarines? Oh, you got me. I'm in.
The overall effect was really simple, but very effective. It's really neat. Okay, this is Snopes. Well, as Phil Collins has explained numerous times over the years, I bet, In the Air Tonight, as well as most of the Face Value album, deals with his bitterness and frustration over the end of his marriage to his first wife, and the lyrics do not reference any specific real-life event. Under variations, the various forms of legend about the origins of the Phil Collins song encompass many differences in detail. The song is usually said to be about an incident Phil observed, but it's sometimes reported that Collins based the lyrics on an incident he heard about but did not witness. So like he took it from a newspaper article or something. The time lapse between Collins witnessing the incident and his writing the song varies. He wrote this song right away, he waited several years, or he wrote the song many years later. Because he was a child when the incident took place. Well, that's everything.
Yeah.
That is so nonspecific. The nature of the tragic incident also varies. It is most often a man standing idly by while someone else drowns or nearly drowns. But in other forms, mentioning a deliberate drowning, i.e. a murder, a rape of Collins' wife, or Collins catching his wife in an adulterous act.
Yeah.
The victim takes on several identities. Collins' brother, Collins' wife, but only when the incidents involve sexual assault, a close friend of Collins, a stranger in distress whom Collins recognizes as his wife's attacker but refuses to help. That's the first draft one, I think. That's someone came out and it's like, then they spoke to the editor and they said, it's too many plot points. Just simplify the story. And then Phil Collins himself, who supposedly nearly drowned when his boat capsized. In the versions featuring an anonymous, innocent drowning victim, Collins himself does not provide aid himself because he's either too drunk or stoned, too far away, or too busy soliciting help. Now, I reckon Phil bears some responsibility here because he doesn't know that the other guy wasn't also too drunk or too stoned or maybe had his kids with him or something like that.
He doesn't know that the other guy wasn't writing a song about Phil Collins not helping.
Yeah, they're both looking. Billy Joel and Phil Collins.
The other guy was Billy Joel.
Are both standing on a beach watching someone drown, looking at each other.
Yeah,
going,
well, what about the time that you burnt down that house and blamed me for starting the fire? How about that, Phil?
In versions where Collins learns the identity of the killer, sometimes by hiring a private detective,
oh, yeah.
He invites the man to an upcoming concert and sends him a ticket anonymously. At the subsequent concert, Collins premieres In the Air Tonight, which he sings while the spotlight shines on the inviting guest. I love that because there are moments in rock concerts where they'll do that, you know, especially if it's a ballad or a love song. Oh, you know, or the camera will isolate on one person and you'd be like, oh, Phil, I love Phil. The camera's on me. And then it's like, j'accuse.
Well, we went to see Leonard Cohen and... what had happened was I was meant to be going to see Leonard Cohen another night. And then my manager, she had to like have an emergency wedding. Her mum was dying. And so they rushed forward their wedding so that her mum could like, you know, enjoy her wedding. And it happened to be the night that we were going to go and see Leonard Cohen. So she did not need to do this, my manager, but she contacted the Sydney Entertainment Centre where the other concert was going to be and said, is there any tickets left? And there wasn't. It was completely sold out. And then a few days before the concert, she rang and said, well, it turns out that there's some tickets and they're not going to make you pay for the tickets because they were tickets that were going to go to a prize winner.
Right.
And the prize winner couldn't come to the concert.
It's great cover for Leonard Cohen to bloody...
And so we go to the concert... And we suddenly realise we are sitting front row centre.
Leonard Cohen's about to accuse you. Leonard Cohen was in Byron Bay. He saw you on the beach when a swimmer was out past the flags. And he's like,
I was too drunk and stoned
out. Yeah, it all checks out.
And like people still, like I'll meet people who say, oh, did you enjoy that Leonard Cohen concert? And I was like, how do you know I was there? And they said, well, you're on the big screen all the time because right. The camera would go to the front row. So maybe I was...
There's a setup.
Maybe I missed something. Maybe one of Leonard Cohen's songs was about me accusing me of something.
Hallelujah is really about a guy who could have saved another guy from drowning. So the little side note, the little extra info is hip-hop artist Eminem referenced... The legend on the Marshall Mathers LP. So in Stan, it goes, you know the song by Phil Collins in the air tonight about the guy who could have saved the other guy from drowning but didn't? Then Phil saw it all and at his show he found him. So an annotation of that lyric surmised that the titular Stan is jumping to the conclusion that the myth is true since he's not very rational right now.
Okay, right.
He's a fucking genius lyricist.
So that's meant to be the
song. It's meant to be that, yeah. That okay. He's unstable.
Yeah.
He's a good rapper, that guy.
He is.
Writes good lyrics.
He actually really, I mean.
That's smart. I didn't pick that
it's
up.
It's a lot of downside, you know, that Marshall has, but there is also a lot of upside.
Yeah. All right, that's the show. Felt like a good place to finish it. What have we done, 15 minutes?
We actually have done... 30
minutes. Oh, good. Well, we've got some mail. So okay. Why don't we just dig into some mail? Hang on.
You get your iPad, right. And I'm going to pause this for a second, and I'm going to play you this moment from Phil Collins.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
We are back.
We just
watched Phil Collins, and Charlie was right. The drum, it doesn't come from the roof, but it rises up out of the stage. That is a detail in all the times I've watched it that I actually haven't noticed that it rises up out of the fucking stage. But his stage performance is even more muted than I remember.
Yeah.
It is literally just him walking down
very
one
slowly.
Side of the... Really slowly, because he's an old man going down steps and he has to concentrate on the fact that he's going down steps.
And the best bit is when he's come down, he's walked the front of the stage and then he goes up the other set of stairs. He stops halfway like an old man who's come down to tell you kids to knock it off. And he stops halfway, turns back and glares at the audience before slowly walking up the rest of it. It's amazing.
It is. There is something about that. So I would hope that at every Phil Collins concert, they put the spotlight on one person.
Yeah, just to fuck with them.
Just to fuck with them. Like, imagine that. You go to a Phil Collins concert and he sings Air the Night and then suddenly there is just a bright light on you and you're like, it's not me.
So maybe like, the FBI or something come to Phil and say, look, we've got a bunch of kind of like, what are they called? Cold cases. Like, but we think we know he did it. We just don't have enough evidence. But we think maybe if you can break him, we've got enough pressure on them that maybe they'll just crack.
It'd be a good end to every crime podcast.
Yeah.
Every true crime podcast ends with Phil Collins' concert.
They just send someone some free tickets, put him in the front row and hope he cracks. It's also funny too, because watching that and look, you know, I mean, we're not really the right vintage for Phil Collins. I guess it's a generation above us. But there was that era in pop music where pop stars were middle-aged men. It was like Robert Palmer. There was George Harrison. There was Phil Collins. Like, they were writing these pop songs, but they, you're right, they all look like butchers. And
I mean, Phil Collins more than any of them. There's just every part of him in that that you just go, I don't know what's going on. Like, this guy was the biggest pop star in the entire world for a while. And he is just like a middle-aged man in a smock.
Well, the crazy thing is, like, Genesis were a big band, yes. Right? And who's the lead? Is Peter Gabriel? Yeah. Right, okay.
Sledgehammer, and, Peter Gabriel.
And but they, even after he left, they were still a pretty successful band. But then, like, you know, people talk about Dave Grohl. When Nirvana ended, Dave Grohl must have thought, well, you know, that's it. Phil Collins must have had a few of those thoughts. Like Dave Grohl's still pretty rock and roll, even though he was the drummer for Nirvana. Like, you're like, okay, well, maybe we'll never have Nirvana success. But, you know, he's a rock and roller. But when Peter Gabriel left, how many people were like, well, Genesis will never continue? Then they do. And they're like, well, Phil will never have a solo career. And then he did.
Is Dave Grohl the biggest drummer who became a solo artist, or is Phil Collins?
That's a good question. Let's say he sold more albums. Would that be online, you reckon? How many albums?
Yeah, absolutely. Just look up how many albums Phil Collins has sold and then how many albums the Foo Fighters have sold.
How many albums?
I mean, Phil Collins probably has sold more just because people bought more albums back in those days as well. But I would say that Phil Collins is still got it over. If Dave Grohl's the coolest musician in the world unless he's in a room with Phil Collins.
Okay. How many albums has Phil Collins sold?
I'm going to say 80 million albums.
More.
More than 80 million?
Yeah. Worldwide?
120 million.
More.
More than 120 million albums worldwide.
Yeah.
150.
150 albums worldwide. 30 million in the United States alone.
Right.
Okay. Foo Fighters.
How many of the Foo Fighters? I'm going to say more like 80 million.
Way less.
45 million.
Less.
20 million.
Less.
Less? 15 million.
Oh, no, sorry, hang on, that's the US.
Yeah.
So go back to your 50 million.
80. I said 80 less. Originally. So 50.
Less.
40.
less.
30.
32 million. 32 million. But I think you're right, though. I think it's more about Foo Fighters started when like Napster and MP3s right. were kicking off and stuff. So, yeah, Phil Collins is the biggest drummer turned pop star, turned rock star in the world. And didn't he win an Oscar as well? He won an Oscar for like the Tarzan animated movie. He wrote the music for Tarzan. So, I mean, we're making fun of him.
Yeah, but...
but he's a crime fighter.
first and foremost, solves cold cases.
Yeah.
Number one. Secondly, I mean, he's definitely... the most famous crime-solving pop star.
Pop star. Okay, well, what other drummers would there be? Like, Ringo. Ringo Starr would be the other one. But Ringo's solo career was more of a laugh, right?
A novelty.
A novelty.
A side project.
I can't think of any other drummers that became like frontmen besides those two, really.
Google that. There'll be information about that.
What do I Google?
Just drummers who became... Frontmen.
A list. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Drummers who became frontmen. I found an article on NME, which is 20 drummers who became stars
Great.
In their own
Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. There we go.
So you know more about music than me. So I will give you the name of the person and then you tell me the band.
Okay.
Daniel Haim.
Daniel Haim from the band Haim.
Correct. Before she hit the big time with her sisters, she was hitting the skins for Julian Casablancas, touring as a backup musician on guitar and drums with the Strokes frontman's solo project.
Oh.
She returned to the kit last summer playing with the Killers. Huh. How about that? I don't know.
Okay.
What if I said Janet Weiss?
From the band The Weiss Bars.
Ice cream and mango, whatever.
Mango, exactly.
You don't know who that is?
No.
One third of Slater Kinney.
Oh, I like Slater Kinney. Good band.
Okay. This is someone you'll know. I won't tell you a name because I'll give it away, but famous associate of Prince.
famous associate of Prince.
You know how he always had his muses?
Yeah, so...
Not Diamond or Pearl.
No. So it was somebody that Prince played with a lot who played the drums.
She played drums for
she
him.
She played drums.
Yeah, and you're sewing half her name by saying
Sheila E. Yeah.
Prince tried to snaffle away Sheila Escovedo's talent behind a drum kit all for himself, but alongside guesting with him throughout the early 80s, she also set up a successful solo career. Okay. This guy, you'd know him very well. He is also a band leader.
Oh, as in like he has his own band?
No, as in like a traditional band leader on a TV show. Think more modern.
The Roots.
Yes, and his name is if you have a mission to find love, you might say
Questlove.
This is a guy that I all my friends when I was at Splendor a few years ago were desperate to see this guy, and I used to call him Papa John Smurf.
Papa John Misty.
Father John Misty. Former Fleet Foxes stickman. I didn't know that. He played drums for Fleet Foxes. Dave Grohl, we all know. This guy I've never heard of, but the band has been mentioned before. His name is Ronnie Vannucci Jr.
And the band?
The band's name came up in an earlier
discussion today or in an earlier episode?
No, today.
Episode.
Okay. When we're talking about another drummer.
He was
replaced by another drummer.
The Beatles. Paul Best. No, what's his name?
The Killers. Pete
Best.
He was a drummer for The Killers.
Okay.
Masterminded their finest post-millennial side project, releasing the self-titled album from his Big Talk duo back in 2011. Have you heard of Big Talk?
Sounds familiar, but...
Oh, hang on. I've accidentally hit a Redbubble link. The AI sends me Redbubble links to Tofop merch. Do you get that as well?
Yeah, well, I need it. I've just broken my mug.
Then there's obviously the big man, Phil Collins, 150 million albums selling Phil Collins. After a progtastic 1970s with Rocker's Genesis, Phil Collins set out solo and became one of the 1980s biggest musical stars in the process, ramping up the pop angle and hits like In Here Tonight, Sisu Studio, Another Day in Paradise, came thick and fast. Okay, famous female musician who died tragically, I believe.
Oh,
Janis Joplin. Part of a duo, I believe. The band's name is a surname. And it's also her surname.
Her name is... No, don't know.
Karen Carpenter.
Oh, right.
An accomplished drummer, as much as she was a singer, Karen Carpenter started out behind the kit in the 60s. All of the early performances of the Carpenters saw her singing from the drums, but she eventually took up a position center stage. Every now and again, she'd bust out a ballsy solo. Well, Karen Carpenter must be up there in terms of album sales. She's quite big, wasn't she?
Yeah, the Carpenters were pretty big.
Yeah. This person doesn't sound real. Patty Schemmel.
A seminal
right girl band.
Yes. Fuck.
When you think of right girl, who do you think of?
I think of
most famous right girl. Didn't she even coin the phrase?
Who?
Courtney Love.
Oh no, that actually was not what I was thinking.
Okay.
No.
She was a drummer for Hole.
Okay.
I didn't know he'd become a solo artist. He was a famous drummer.
I was thinking L7 for some reason.
Yeah. Well, they were right, girls.
Yeah.
This guy was a famous drummer in a very famous pop band in the 60s. I didn't realize he'd become solo. Rivals to the Beatles.
The Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Across the Atlantic rivals.
Across the Atlantic rivals. Mm. So they were a pop band the same. It's like
yeah,
same
he had a brother who was the lead singer of this band.
Oasis.
In the 60s.
No, I don't know.
Quintessential surf band.
The Beach Boys.
Beach Boys. Dennis Wilson. Turns out the Beach Boys drummer was a rival to Big Brother Brian Wilson in the songwriting stakes. His debut solo album, Pacific Ocean Blue, came out in 1977 and still holds up as one of the finest examples of West Coast rock and roll. He didn't do a follow-up in 2008. I don't think he ranks up there. I think they bullshit. Oh, this is interesting. Okay. This guy is... Your dad loves him. Gold 104 plays a lot of his tracks. There was even a pop song. There's a 90s grunge song suggesting this person should die.
Oh.
A 90s grunge song suggesting this person should
Yeah,
die.
It's like he was the lead singer of a band that are like super popular, American band, straight up and down rock and rock and roll sort of folky band.
From the
named after an animal.
The Monkees.
Close. More like a bird.
The Birds.
Actually, oh, shit.
The Eagles.
The Eagles. And yes. The lead singer is?
Don Henley.
Don Henley sang some of American rocker's biggest tunes, including Hotel California, Desperado, Winchy Woman. He went on his own way in the 1980s, and he carried out making big hits, blah, blah, blah. How about
Well, Don Henley would be right up there. He is a...
Well, the Eagles are huge, right?
Yeah, but also Don Henley. So, like, boys of...
Do you remember that song, Don Henley Must Die?
No, I don't remember that. Who was that boy?
I don't know. I used to hear it at Triple J when I was a teenager. Levon Helm.
Levon Helm. Lee Von Helm or Levon Helm?
Levon Helm.
Doesn't help.
Nah. He, okay, so he's a late great Levon Helm. He's a drummer for The Band. Have you ever heard of him?
Okay, yeah, The Band, yeah.
But took on lead vocals. Da, ba, 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 ba. Oh, this is an interesting one. Okay. Right. So, female, pop star, firmly in the pop genre.
Okay.
Was in like a pop band that were kind of like the precursor to the Bangles. They were the proto Bangles.
The Shantuzis.
No.
The...
Oh, yeah, no, they were pre-Bangles. They were proto-Bangles. No, they were called the proto-Bangles.
The proto-Bangles. Yeah, we all remember the proto-Bangles.
You might remember the album cover because my brother had it. And as a young boy, I was very drawn to the cover, which was these female band members all wearing nothing but bath towels.
Oh, no, I don't know. Who is this?
The band is the Go-Go's.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the drummer then turned singer.
Belinda Carlisle.
Belinda Carlisle. Forget all you know.
I didn't know that Belinda Carlisle was a drummer.
Neither did I. Forget, well, Will, NME says, forget all you think you know about Belinda Carlisle. Turns out she's more punk rock than a dive bar full of Joe strummers. Wow. Before she joined Pop Tearaway's The Go-Go's, she was a jobbing LA drummer and once sat in with Caustic Germs' Pat Smear for a Nirvana Foo Fighters. She played for the Germs, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Sorry. Okay. This guy, you should know this. I don't want to give you his name, but it's one of your favorite bands.
Oh, The Cure.
But hang on. He's not the lead singer.
Radiohead.
Yeah.
Phil Selway from Radiohead.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a solo album. Yeah.
But not like he didn't make him a star, did he?
No, but he went out and he did his own solo album, so that makes sense.
Okay. Anna Pryor?
Anna Pryor. Okay, no.
Nah, I mean, have you heard of this? Metronomy? Have you heard of that? Metronomy?
No, not really.
Metronomy,
no.
Lightspeed Champion? No. Joey Mount? Okay. Georgia. Do you know who that is? Wonder Watch for 2015. Georgia Barnes has worked with everyone from Quez and Kate Tempest to Juice. This might as well be in another language.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Is it one of Jimmy Barnes's kids? Yeah. Is it one of the tin lids that's grown up?
Have you ever heard of a band called Razorlight?
No, I've heard of them, but I wouldn't be able to identify
Andy Burrows.
One of the songs.
Ah, this guy's actually quite a famous drummer. He still kicks around now, covered in tattoos. A real celeb. He's a celeb. Like, you know, you often see him... You know, like he's in the LA scene.
Like a Dave Navarro type, but not Dave Navarro.
Yeah, no, in that of that ilk. He was part of a very popular, like, three piece.
Tommy Lee.
No, three piece.
Oh, three piece. Sorry, I was still stuck on LA drummers.
I mean, yeah, like shares a surname with a beloved St Kilda footballer.
Harvey Lowe Lockett.
Dead St Kilda footballer.
Bulldog.
Probably
Gary Bulldog,
most famous St Kilda footballer of the 80s. Blonde
of the Barker, Travis Barker Travis from Blink 182.
Blink 182. There you go. Yeah. So he's got a solo career apparently. Blink 182's Turbo Tattered Sticks Man released his debut solo album "Give the Drummer Some" in 2011. He didn't do it alone. He had a stellar cast of mates helping out, from the Neptunes, Cypress Hill, Ludacris, Lil Wayne, the RZA. The Kid Cudi, Slash, Tom Morello. It's a good lineup. I want to listen to this album.
Definitely.
Busta Rhymes, Snoop Dogg, Rick Ross, and Corey Taylor of Slipknot.
I like all those people. So if I don't like that album, it's Travis Barker's fault.
Let's get to some
mail.
Oh, yeah. I'm using it as a drink coaster. Hang on one sec. Let me put my hot chocolate down. If you want to send us some mail, you can do that by going to our website, tofop.com. There's a little drop-down menu at the bottom, so you can just select Tofop. Or if you listen to one of our other podcasts, you can also email those. There's Willosophy, which is your smart, highbrow, mega-successful spin-off podcast from this show. That you, this is your, that's your Justin Timberlake show.
Yeah, there's people listening to Willosophy going, you know, he was also in this podcast called Tofop.
So yeah, check out tofop.com, listen to some of our other great podcasts, and you know what, for any of our podcasts, leave a review, rate us, it all helps.
Two Guys One Cup, our AFL podcast, is doing weekend a live grand final show. We normally do one the day after the AFL grand final with the guys from Junk Time AFL, Adam Rosenbach and Michael Chamberlain, and the problem is that, of course, we can't do a live show this year because of the world circumstances. So we've gone to Zoom or something, some sort of technology, and we're selling tickets to that. And there are still some tickets available. Yes. So if you want to see us do a live show the day after the AFL Grand Final, breaking down the Grand Final and having some fun, you can do that by, we'll just have all the links, you know, on our social media.
We'll put a link in the episode description as well.
And, but if you like maybe Charlie and I to do a TOEFOP live show, the best way to encourage us to do that would be to buy a ticket to our grand final show.
Yeah. I think too, I spoke to Michael today because there's been a few people who say they can't watch the live version. So I believe there will be a downloadable version afterwards. Yeah. How we get that out to people, whether we put that on our Patreon or, you know, we've got to work out a way that people can access it if they can't buy a ticket on the day. So just follow our socials. We'll update you with all that information. But in the meantime, Will, here's a little email from a guy called Dom. Hi, Will and Charlie. Been listening to your old eps to pass the time, not working or seeing many people. Was listening to episode 40. Can you remember? Take a guess what that episode was called.
Give me a clue.
Well, I mean, you would not be surprised that it was one of our early episodes. I believe the conversation was about dismissing something. When you dismiss something, you...
You flick?
Poo-poo.
Poo-poo. Was it called poo-poo?
It was called poo-poo.
Oh, boy.
You talk with Justin Hamilton about the order of Friends actors that you would sleep with.
Okay.
It's not what you said, but I'm being more PC. Thank you. Since it's about 15 years since the last season, my order is a bit different, but here it goes. Oh, great.
Okay. Okay.
From first to last. All right,
This because this is the reverse of what we normally do. We're normally answering the mail much later than people have. Like, it'll be about an episode from ages ago because we're not up to date. But this is the listeners taking it on board to give us feedback from an episode.
260 episodes.
You couldn't
ago.
Even give us feedback at episode 40, I don't think. So they've taken the opportunity to just contribute. I like it.
Okay, so Dom's order, first to last, is Aniston, Perry, LeBlanc, Schwimmer, Cox, Kudrow. Yeah, I think roughly I'd have roughly the same. Maybe a few would swap positions, but I can get behind that. Now for the context, I went with this shit sandwich. Two good half decent sandwich between one shit person. For me, Perry and Cox are the two I really hate. So I definitely need to put my go tos first and last. Okay, I'll see what he's doing. Start strong, finish strong.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't believe we were saying you had that, like, you do them in order, right? Wasn't it just like if you had a choice?
But I've got to say, you're still going to, like, if you're going to have to sleep with all the cast members of Friends, you're still going to have to sleep with them in order.
Yeah, yeah. I'd start with them with a good one. Hardest was the third and fourth positions because it could go either way. But I feel Matt LeBlanc would be a belter after Matt Perry to get over it. I would go the other way. I reckon I'd want Matt Perry. Matt Perry would be my, because he'd be my favorite friend, I think. So I think I'd put him at the halfway mark if I was feeling a bit like, you know, I wasn't enjoying it or whatever. And he would, some sardonic, like, aside or witty remark or something. And I'm like, okay, I can get through this.
Well, you'd be able to riff on the first couple of people from Friends you've already fucked.
Yeah. Could your erection be less impressive?
I'm glad to be third. Not.
The only downside would be that the first guy I'd sleep with ever would then be Matthew Perry. God damn it. But I finished with two females, so I guess that's a plus. Well, whatever floats your boat, mate.
Whatever, man. If you got, I mean, the idea is you're sleeping with them all.
Yeah.
I would...
You've already committed to that.
Okay.
So
I'm just going to do mine off the top of my head. I have not put too much thought into this, and I wonder if it'll, like, correlate with what I originally said. In order. I like the idea that you got to like...
Start and end strong.
Start and end strong. I think that is a good idea. So I'm going to start... I'm going to start with Courtney Cox.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to start with Courtney Cox. I'm going to move on to David Schwimmer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You get the Gellers out of the way first.
Yeah, exactly.
You the Gellers. You're going all Game of Thrones, right?
Right. And then I think that I'm going to go Matthew Perry.
Halfway mark.
Exactly. Just like... Make first two were just kind of like amuse-bouche and entree. Now I need like a main course. And I feel like that's going to be a Matthew Perry, Matt LeBlanc double.
Yeah.
So Perry into LeBlanc.
Yeah.
Then Phoebe.
Yeah. Interesting.
Lisa Kudrow. And then I'll finish with Jennifer Aniston. Because
So you go Perry, LeBlanc, Kudrow, Aniston.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. So is Matt LeBlanc just get it out of the way?
No, that's my kind of like main meal.
Okay, so Perry and LeBlanc are kind of like, it's like a two-course main.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay. That makes sense.
And Kudrow, I'm like, whatever. That's just kind of like, you know, an in-between. And then the sweet, sweet dessert that is Jennifer Aniston.
Well, it's interesting because the next question was, has your order changed? And he says, does Will still rank Kudrow last? Which you haven't. You've put Aniston last, but...
Different.
But your logic.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was doing them in order, Kudrow would still be last. Yes, probably.
What other TV cast members would you do? And he's given us a list. Happy Days, A Good Place, Frasier, or any others. Dealer's choice. Okay. Cheers, guys.
Have any of those shows?
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, yeah, cheers. Okay, that's okay. Good.
All so right. Are we talking Kirstie Alley years or Shelley Long?
Kirstie Alley.
Okay. All right, Kirstie Alley. Well,
so Kelsey Grammer's in it.
Oh, yeah. Kirstie
Alley, Woody Harrelson.
I'd go Beb Newirth first. I always thought she was hot.
Yep.
Okay. What was her name? Fraser's wife? Lilith.
Yeah, okay. Yep, Lilith.
And then Ted Danson. So handsome. Yep. Like, no problems there. Heterosexual man, but Ted Danson. So beautiful. Is Woody Harrelson or is it Coach at this stage? Let's say Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
I think I'd bring Woody Harrelson in. Oh, maybe not. Maybe I'll save Woody for the end because I really like Woody. Yep. And we could have good pillow talk.
Right.
So, okay. So I'll go... So I go Lilith,
yeah.
Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Who's my main meal? I guess it's Kirstie Alley, but she's a Scientologist and she's a bit of a fucking weirdo.
Yeah,
now.
But what about Norm and Cliff?
Well, I'm gonna have to. I'm hoping to just rush through
Norm, Cliff, and Frasier.
Yeah, I'm gonna run a train through the back end of the Cheers cast because none of those guys particularly appeal.
What about Rhea Perlman?
Oh shit. It's Danny DeVito's wife. I feel terrible. I don't want Danny DeVito angry at me. Or is he giving me his blessing?
No, he's on board. Yeah.
He's watching. No, go ahead. By all means.
He's dressed as the Penguin. And he's just watching.
Okay. Well, let's put Rhea. I like Rhea Perlman.
I like Rhea Perlman too.
And I like Carla. So let's put her in the middle. And then of the three, I wasn't a big fan of Frasier. Mm. Didn't really like the character or anything like that. Of the three, Norm, Cliff, and Frasier, Cliff is my favorite. So I'm going to put Cliff and Carla together in the middle. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to quickly get through Norm and Frasier, and then I'm going to finish with Woody Harrelson because I reckon he'd be great fun. Smoke a joint afterwards and just hang out and talk. He'd show me like how he doesn't cook his food. He'd show me around his kitchen. His friend's got a tree in the middle of his kitchen because he eats raw food. Okay, next letter, Will. This is from Jay. Just Jay. Subject, alternate Tofopiverse. 2:FOP. Hey, lads. Thanks for the years of conversation. It's been great. I've always wondered how different the podcast would be if you'd started 5 years later than you did when your podcast needed to be about something. Yeah, that's a good point. You probably wouldn't have done it.
No. Well, it'd be... Yes, I don't...
It's much harder to come up with a podcast idea these days.
Well, we probably might have done the footy podcast.
Oh, yeah. I came across this random list of 15 untapped podcast ideas that you could start a podcast about.
Okay, great.
Skip all the fluff at the top. The topics are about halfway down. I thought it'd be funny if Will came up with a pun title for some of them and you pretend to know anything about the topics with a bit of classic TOEFOP improv. Okay. Oh, a bit of classic TOEFOP improv.
Trademark.
If it's a stupid idea, feel free to give it a miss. Thanks, lads. No, Jay, we're going to go there, mate. Your wish is my command. Okay, this is from buzzsprout.com, which is like a knockoff BuzzFeed, right? Okay, so I'm just skipping. Okay, these are the topics.
Yes.
Oh, hang on, wait a minute. Okay. Number one, the outdoors, i.e. hiking, camping, boating, etc.
Okay.
Example, the best place to hike in a particular state or region, camping hacks, etc. Yeah.
Well, one of the original names we were going to call this podcast was We're Going to Need a Bigger Boat.
Yep.
That was literally on our list of when we were coming up with names for TOEFOP. So we call that We're Going to Need a Bigger Boat.
Well, this is going to screw your second one because the second topic is sailing.
We're going to need an even bigger boat.
What about welding, metalworking?
You've got sail. We call sail. Our sailing one. You got sail.
Yeah.
And we answer questions from people on email about sailing.
Getting wet with Will and Charlie.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Welding, metalworking, or woodworking?
Getting wood with Will and Charlie.
A show about animals. For example, you want to make a niche dog podcast. You could have a show about a specific breed. Mm. Well, the journalist who wrote this wrote bread instead of breed.
Okay, right. Dogs out of work. The dog good. Boy.
Yeah, yeah. The kings of dogginess. crafting and DIY, i.e. pottery, sewing, quilting, painting, house product, blah, blah, blah. A surefire way to cut your fingers off. Is that too long a title?
No.
A visit to the emergency room with Will and Charlie.
Crafts.
Craft work?
Craft. Oh, craft work.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Part about musical instruments like guitar learning hacks, successfully booking gigs. How about this? Drummer to singer in 30 days.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
House flipping.
New homo.
Yeah, that's great.
Hashtag new homo.
A podcast about podcasting.
30 odd foot a pod.
A podcast about wedding event planning. Divorced in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
Pre-divorce. The pre-divorce podcast.
The pre-divorce podcast. That's good.
A podcast about 3D printing. Don't make guns.
Yeah. 3D. No. Yeah, okay. No.
A podcast about storm chasing. Anywhere the wind blows.
Oh, I like that. Yes. I was going to say Storm Boys.
Or we could say Twister without the special effects. The only reason for watching that film we don't have in this podcast. Caving, rock climbing, or rappelling? Stuff we cannot do.
Yeah. Repellent, the podcast.
Urban farming. You might know a bit about this.
Urban farming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Happy Hydroponics Hour.
A book review podcast. Flip it. Page Turner. Chapter. Verse and chapter? No, that's more like a Bible thing.
The book, his wife, the thief and his lover, yeah. Or whatever it is.
Okay, this is from John. Concerned citizen of the world is the subject. 2:FOP. Are we just going to roll over and accept our new robot overlords? Oh. Look at these robot dolphins. They're terrifying. Okay. I, for one, have been doing my bit to fight the good fight. I've been studying mechatronic engineering at university, which is essentially robotic engineering. Mm-hmm. And I have been consistently failing subjects to ensure there isn't another robotic engineer in this world. My efforts seem futile, but at least I'm doing something.
You're giving it a go.
I asked the listeners of TOEFOP, what are you doing? Warm regards, John.
I mean,
robotic engineering, I didn't even realize that. I mean, I guess that is a thing. I thought you just study like engineering and then you'd apply to robotics, but I guess it would be a specialized thing now, right?
Yeah, absolutely it would be. And I think the only way that we can stop the rise of the robots is more lazy idiots.
Like us.
Well, no, I was going to say like John.
Him, like John.
Applying for that course and they're not doing any work.
This is from Liam, not Liam Gallagher. Subject, could have crashed the car.
Okay.
I remember. He says, hey guys, I just wanted to say that when you were talking about getting kicked in the tubular balls with a cowboy boot, I cried laughing so hard I could have crashed my van. Not that I am encouraging kicking in the baby makers, but man, that broke me. I was laughing so hard. On a side note, I was listening to your email segment after the kicking where a listener asked about how much you would charge to talk about his company. I thought I'd ask about mine. I make homemade silver coffee bean jewelry under the name Coffee Bean Culture on Facebook. Here's the website. Although I've not built the site yet, so I'm currently just using Facebook. Okay, so I was going to,
on Facebook.
Yeah, go to www.coffeebeanculture.com and hopefully
the website. And we can't mock that, by the way, because, you know, it took us a long while to get our website together too.
If you do read this and read out the Facebook name, I'd love to bribe you. I mean, thank you by sending you some silver coffee bean necklaces that you and that you can give to your partner and pretend you bought them lovingly. Loving the podcast. I'm a new listener, having found you through James and Meso's podcast, The Weekly Planet. But I'm glad I found you. All the best, Liam from Blairgowrie in Scotland, my wife is from. Look, mate, if you want to send us the coffee bean necklace, you go right to it. I don't know. We have an address I can give out on air. So let me get back to you on that one. We'll get a P.O. box or something. This next bit of mail is from Scott. Margot Robbie, ASMR. Hey, guys. I'll keep this brief. After hearing you discovering ASMR last episode, I figured you might enjoy the one Margot Robbie did about Vegemite. It's easy to find via Google and it's worth the 3 minutes. Enjoy. Did you know about this?
No.
I'm going to search that as soon as I leave your place tonight.
Yeah, you can report on that next week.
Okay. This is another Scott. Subject. COVID hoax. Proof.
Okay. Oh, okay. Great.
Hey, guys. Just writing in with some proof about the COVID hoax we're all living through. Recently, these twin sisters drank from the same cup used by someone who had COVID-19. Same DNA, but only one of them contracted COVID and the other one didn't. Still think the government is involved? Google two girls, one cup to learn more. As Will mentioned, we have a podcast called Two Guys, One Cup. It's about AFL. Much better if you listen to that.
Very different to Two Girls, One Cup.
Blake.
We weren't aware that there was a video called Two Girls, One Cup when we came up with Two Guys, One Cup, but it is completely unrelated.
Blake says, subject line, possible discussion. Hey, guys, I just saw this on Reddit and thought it might warrant discussion. There is a picture of Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, and Batman with a caption. He's trying to cool the planet. She's trying to regrow the forest, and they want us to root for the trust fund billionaire. I guess my question to you is, could we get a decent reboot where they are misunderstood? Well, I think that's what all good Batman stories do, is they make the villain compelling. Like even in The Dark Knight Rises, Bane, as misguided as he was, there was a rationale behind it you could get behind, right?
Well, he was raised in the darkness. He was in love with Talia, and the League of Shadows believed in that you needed to kind of destroy the world before it could be...
Cleanse it.
Yeah, rebuild again. I mean, it makes a lot of sense when you say it out loud.
Final letter is from Dennis. Hey, guys. I've been listening to your podcast for the past few months, just catching up on the backlog. Recently, I was on long service leave and thought I'd dive into a few 80s movies. Mm-hmm. Towards the end, I watched a childhood fave called The Wraith. It starred Charlie Sheen's pretty typical revenge flick with a supernatural twist. Think The Crow, but he kills people with a car. It was the 80s. Long story short, he gets his revenge after knocking off five guys and rides off into the sunset with his girl, but not before giving his murder vehicle to his brother. Did Charlie Sheen's character just frame his brother for his murder? The car was a Dodge Interceptor 85 model, I think, so it's very unique. I'm not sure the makers of this film thought this through. Have you seen any movies that made you say, hey, wait a second, keep up the great work, Dennis? Yeah, there's like plenty of films. Back to the Future. The plan is to seduce your mother. Like, that's the best option to get your parents together. You don't want to just like anonymous letters sent to each of them, like, you know, Freaky Friday style to get the parents together.
Nope, this is the only option that we could come up with.
Well, I guess in Back to the Future, the twist is that his mother has fallen in love with him.
Yes.
So he has to somehow take that attraction and direct it at his father. So I'll forgive Back to the Future in this instance. I think most 80s movies...
Yeah, it's not like Marty went back and said...
You know what I want to do?
I've always wanted to do, Doc.
Marty, you disgust me. Great Scott, you're a pervert. Speaking of 80s movies, there's a show that everyone has wanted.
Great, by the way, if like Doc Brown, because like the idea being that like, you know, how does Marty and Doc become friends? How do they like end up working with each other, right? So Marty's this local teen, Doc's this like, you know, disgraced scientist, and like Marty's been helping him out with his like time travel experiments and all these sort of things. And Doc says, I think I've got it. I think as long as I can get this plutonium, I think that we can like get master time travel working. And I want you to, you know, do it with me. And Marty's like, on one condition.
Have you seen my mum in the 50s? She was hot.
Yeah, I mean, Back to the Future was the original Pornhub, because that's pretty much all Pornhub is now. People trying to save their parents from something in the future.
A lot of people have asked us to talk about Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah.
So here's what I'll say about Cobra Kai. I watched the first season.
Yes. I've watched only the first two episodes.
And I loved it. Really enjoyable. Mm. It's everything. People were right. It's exactly what you and I would do if we were to reboot The Karate Kid. Everything about it is great. But having said that, I binged the first series and then went straight into the second, and I cannot recall a drop in quality quite as steep as what I've experienced from the first season to the second season, to the point where I think I finished it. I'm not sure. I tuned out about, I got worried in the first ep, tuned out about three episodes in, and then started hate watching it. Like, I couldn't believe how much they made me hate all these characters that I, well, that's not true. Johnny, I still think, is the best character, and they should have just stuck with him. The premise of Cobra Kai season one is Bad Santa. He's this dude who's fucking terrible at life. He's a bad guy. He's a grown-up bully, and he teaches a kid how to fight. And there's mixed messages the whole way through, and it's entertaining, it's funny, and the music's great. But the second one, it's like they completely misunderstood the formula of what made the first one work, and they bring Ralph Macchio in and make him like the hero again. It's like, no, that's the whole point why this works, is you've subverted what we know about The Karate Kid. I'm so angry with that series, because I just feel like, well, what I feel like happened is that the creators of it, and I found out later that two of the writers on it are the guys who wrote Hot Tub Time Machine, which, as you know, it's one of my all-time favorite like time travel films. And I think they had a great idea for a series, and they had a brilliant first series, and it has a great arc. It's really, it builds at the end. It's really, but then when the network came back to them and said, all right, series two, they were like, fuck. We're just gonna make
Just did not imagine you would want a second series of this.
It is so bad. Like, I really, I can't express enough how disappointed I am with the second series. Look, I'll be honest, I'll probably watch the third just to see if they can get the magic back, but I think True Detective is why.
Are they trying to follow the formula of the Karate Kid movies themselves, in that the first one's good and then they just get less and less good as they go on?
It feels like that, because it feels like all the magic of the Karate Kid. Well, here's the other thing that they do, and you may have noticed in the first three episodes, is they do just the right amount of fan service, where it's like, oh, you know, what's this object? Oh, and then they'll have a flashback. You're like, oh, Miss Miyagi gave that to. And so it's just the right amount, just to remind you, but they don't dwell on it. This fucking second series, they just play entire clips. Entire clips from the old films. And it's just like, I think they misunderstood that Daniel is a character that you root for because he's the underdog.
Right.
Now that he's a successful karate champion, car salesman with a beautiful wife and stuff, I don't want to fucking see him triumph.
Yeah, fuck that
I want to
guy.
See him lose.
Yeah.
Like, what I was hoping they were going to do was make him the villain. He become, like, you know, he's now a corporate fucking scumbag.
It felt like that's where they were going from the bit of it that I saw. I was like, oh, this is great.
And in a way, the first series is like that. But the second series, I don't know if Ralph Macchio's agent muscled in and was like, hey, you know, he wants a bigger slice of the pie. But everything about him as a character, or Daniel LaRusso as a character, is he's got to be a loser. He's got to be up against it. That's why the Johnny Lawrence character
was. Well, I was going to say, if he lost everything, again, I haven't seen it. So, but if there was a point at the end of the first series where, like, he lost all the success that he had and then had to rebuild, you could probably
that would
do
have been
a story
perfect.
Around him.
That's exactly what they should have done. The end of the first series, whatever disaster happens, some scandal, he loses his business, his wife leaves him, and he blames Johnny for it. And now he's coming for Johnny. And so you can just build it up like that. But yeah, man, like, it's just, I'll be interested to see if you, I mean, I think you will enjoy the first series, but I'll be interested to see if you make it into the second series, because it's just like garbage.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't have time to watch that. I'm too busy watching Phil Collins in the air tonight for the 15th time.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. If you want to support the show, best way to do that, besides, you know, buying stuff from our sponsors and leaving reviews and going to our YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff, is to go to Patreon. That's the hard cash money way you can support the show. There's a bunch of great bonus content up there. We will be putting more stuff up there. In fact, should we tease our idea for the new show we've been talking about doing that we think maybe we'll release on Patreon?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So what we just did then, that discussion about what you do with Cobra Kai, we're thinking we're going to do a new podcast where we take famous like properties and we put our spin on it. I don't know if you call it a reboot or a reimagining or a rewrite.
Well, taking like a character or like not necessarily, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be Cobra Kai style. Yeah, you take
it's not the continuing adventures of Batman or anything like that.
But taking like a beloved character from a movie or somebody that you might have wanted to see more time with and then pitching their own spin-off series.
Yeah. So we haven't really decided what it is yet. We haven't recorded it yet, but that's coming soon. And we're going to release that on Patreon. And it'll be one of those things where if we feel like we get enough interest in it, then we'll make it a regular thing. But for now, I'm Charlie Clawson.
And I'm Will Anderson.
How long? Not long. Everyone relax.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.